It's the weekend of the International Falls Rainy Lake Bass Tournament, a huge bass tournament that brings out the best bass anglers in the state of Minnesota and some of the Canadian provinces as well. Every year, the Peterson clan vacations there and fishes in the tournament. Once again, brothers Dwayne and John are competing, and I had a chance to check in with Dwayne.
Our strategy to pre-fish is to seek out big fish. This game has turned into a big fish game. We're allowed five fish a day. We don't need to catch 25 fish. We need to catch seven or eight, and five of them being the right ones. And a lot of times, if you're seeking out the big fish, you end up with little or nothing. And you've got to take that risk. It's kind of a we have a kind of a high risk, high reward type approach to our tournament fishing.
A lot of bass talk about a great bass water, Rainy Lake, coming up.
I got my fishing pool keys, tackle box in my hand. Gonna cast a few lines with my toes in the sand. Pulling in a big catch makes me feel like a man. But the wife, she just don't understand. I love walleye, perch, trout, and bass. And if you don't like fishing, you can kiss my four-stroke right in the back. Cause the fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
This is Fishin' Paul Bunyan Country.
We're checking in with our good friend Dwayne Peterson, a Hall of Fame angler and one of the founders of Northland Fishing Tackle, who is on, I don't know, Dwayne, as I talked to you and Travis over the years, and this is a very competitive event, but it's also kind of a family vacation for the Petersons, isn't it?
It is. We love Rainy Lake, and we get up here several times a year. And this particular week, when we do the tournament, we've got a big house rented on the lake, and we get a good part of our family and extended family up here for the week.
It's the International Falls Rainy Lake Bass Championship, and this is one of two really big events on the Rainy Lake and the Rainy River in that area.
Yes, it is. The Fort Francis tournament is in July, like the third week in July, and we spend a better part of a week up here then too, and that's actually headquartered on the Canadian side out of Fort Francis, whereas this one is headquartered out of International Falls, and both of them using the same body of water.
Now, are there different places you have to fish for each tournament, considering it's on the separate side of the border?
Yeah, in the Canadian tournament, we fish all of the Canadian waters of Rainy Lake. It's on the Canadian side. And the American tournament, we can fish the American side, but also a limited amount of the Canadian water. They don't allow us to pass through any bridges or go into any remote areas. So okay. It's kind of a combination.
All right. And you guys have been up there fishing. Now, who's all fishing against each other? Is you and John together in this particular tournament?
Yeah. Brother John and I have been partners in this tournament since its beginning, I guess. And it's a tradition for us, a chance for us to spend a week together in a boat and tournament fish like we did many, many years ago when we were young. So that's awesome. And then my sons, Travis and Craig, pair up as partners as well.
Okay.
We kind of work together as a team. We share some information. We try to help each other out, and it makes for it's a good time.
I bet it is. What a fun vacation that is for a family that's as into bass fishing as you guys are.
Yeah, it really is. And John and I have been on the water for several days, and took the day off to basically heal up a little bit and rest up a little bit and re-rig our broken equipment rather than pre-fish today. Whereas Travis and Craig, they're a little younger than us. They were up at 6 and heading out. So John and I are on shore today licking our wounds and getting prepared for tomorrow. They actually have a rules meeting at 4:30 this afternoon, and they have a boat parade, downtown boat parade. Mandatory parade for us. You get a pretty good turnout for that, so that's kind of fun.
Okay, and then the fishing starts tomorrow?
Yes, sir. So the tournament days are Friday and Saturday, and we're hopeful for a little better weather than we've had. It looks like the forecast has got some south wind in it, which would be something we haven't had much of the last few days. We got that northwest wind, cold, and a brutal wind, and it's a tough lake to get around on in big wind. You've got to really try to limit your travel and try to set down in areas that are protected a little bit, but the wind is a huge, huge factor in determining where we fish and how we fish, and we're always scheming to accommodate the wind.
I know you probably not want to give specifics, but has it been successful out there in the pre-fishing so far?
Yeah, it's been very mixed. We had a couple really, really good days. I think when the weather was right, we've caught some really nice fish. Not a lot of fish, but some nice ones. And we've also had a couple of really, really tough days where we didn't catch very many fish, and they weren't very big. But when you pre-fish, you're eliminating stuff too, and you could pull onto a spot that you might catch a 3.5 pounder and leave and not look at it for days until the tournament days. So you don't know whether it was one fish there or whether there's a mega school there. So a lot of times you don't know till you get there and exploit it on tournament day as to, how good the spot might be.
Now, a lot of guys who fish tournaments, understand the whole pre-fishing concept. For those of us who haven't, what are some of the things you're doing? Are both of you using different presentations to see what'll work? What's your game plan for a pre-fishing event?
Well, pre-fishing is actually more fun than the tournament days. I love to pre-fish because you don't have to catch them, and you don't have to bring your fish to the scale and show people what you caught, and you can be creative. You can look at new areas. You can try new techniques and try to come up with something that maybe nobody else is doing. So the pre-fishing is a big part of our game, so to speak. But our strategy to pre-fish is to seek out big fish. This game has turned into a big fish game. We're allowed 5 fish a day. And we don't need to catch 25 fish. We need to catch 7 or 8 and 5 of them being the right ones. And a lot of times, if you're seeking out the big fish, you end up with little or nothing, and you've got to take that risk. It's kind of a we have a kind of a high risk, high reward type approach to our tournament fishing. We're trying to win, and we want to catch the biggest 5 fish we can. And sometimes that ends up with a failure, and we're willing to take that chance. But our strategy pre-fishing is to cover the lake as best we can and be prepared for different winds that we might get on this big lake on tournament day. That's part of the, and you asked about lure presentation. Absolutely. We fish different techniques, different depths, different presentations to determine what is the most efficient and effective way to catch the big ones.
Okay. How have you had fish in this tournament every year?
Yes. Yeah, we fished. I think I missed maybe 1 year. I had, in fact, that was the year that Jace fished, I think, with Travis, and Craig fished with John. That's the year Gene was. I was at home with some health issues, but I fished every year beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to fish them as long as I can get up in the morning and tolerate the wind. And I fished a lot of tournaments. I still love doing it.
We've got a few really big walleye tournaments in this state, and certainly in this area, but this has got to be the biggest bass tournament in the state of Minnesota.
I don't know if it's the biggest in participation, but I think it's probably close to that. But I think if you put in the fanfare that goes with it and the quality of anglers that show up and the effort and time they put into it, the cash is reasonable, and I think you're right. It's probably as good a tournament as we fish or have fished over the years. Good tournament field, hard charging fishermen, and good people. We got several Canadian teams and several, Minneapolis St. Paul type teams, and even some from out of state. I think there's one guy from Texas and his partner that fish. And so, yeah,
wow.
They've made it a real community event. They have a big tent right downtown by Smoky Bear, and they do a drive-by weigh-in where the people can sit under the tent in chairs and enjoy the fish that come in. And they have you know, a flea market and a bunch of activities going on. So it's a big time community affair that is using fishing as the excuse, I guess, to have it.
Dwayne Peterson is my guest today. He's getting ready for the International Falls Rainy Lake Bass Tournament. Starts Friday. He and brother John are competing, and sons Travis and Craig are on another team. We'll talk more with Dwayne next.
Fishing Paul Bunyan Country, where fishing is more important than pretty much everything. You're listening to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
Dwayne Peterson, my guest today. He and brother John are getting ready to compete in the International Falls Rainy Lake Bass Tournament. It begins on Friday. Rainy Lake, of course, is a tremendous lake. And you mentioned how you guys love Rainy Lake, and that makes sense because you guys, of course, like to fish walleye, love to fish bass, and there are a lot of walleye and a lot of bass in that lake.
Yeah, there are, and it's notable how many walleyes we catch while we're fishing for smallmouth here. I'm sure that John and I were catching, you know, without targeting them, we were probably catching 20 to 25 walleyes a day, and some pretty nice ones as well. And of course, we also caught some pike up here, and we've caught some giant muskies.
Oh.
This is also a very, very good muskie lake. It doesn't get much notoriety, but it's got some huge muskies in it and big pike.
Yeah.
Rainy Lake is world class. It you know, you take Rainy Lake, Lake of the Woods, both within 100 miles of Bemidji, just absolutely world class fisheries. We're so lucky.
We are, and both of them are so rustic and, you know, surrounded with lots of forest, and particularly Rainy Lake with the Voyageurs National Park there. It's a pretty enviable spot.
Absolutely. It's a new adventure around every island and every corner, and you see, you know, very few people. You can pull on to, you know, rock piles or points up the lake that haven't had a, you know, a lure on them for years or ever, maybe. And that's the allure of it, trying to find something that's unique and that you can have to yourself, you know, for a couple of days. But yeah, the beauty here is sensational, and it's a fun place to be.
And there's a lot of Bemidji area anglers that take part in that tournament.
Yeah, I think they're Lauren Ross, you know, and Chuck Olson used to be here all the time, and Tracy Pogue used to be here all the time, but I think those guys are not here this year. But yes, there's a lot of people that we know that we cross paths with, you know, at other tournaments and have befriended, and a nice Canadian faction too that comes over now to fish this tournament.
Okay. Prior to getting up there and fishing, what was happening down in this area for you?
Well, I guess I'm out of the loop a little bit because I've been concentrating on Rainy Lake. It's kind of the time of year that I vacate my bass fishing in Bemidji and my little bit of walleye fishing that I do late summer and head up here. So I'm not a up to the minute type information guy on the walleye fishing. But from what I'm seeing and what I'm talking, the guys that I'm talking to that are fishing regular, the walleye fishing has been halfway decent. I know that tournament on Lake Bemidji, they caught them halfway decent out there, and they caught them a variety of different ways. Most of them shallow, again, on the weed lines, you know. And I think the walleye fishing probably held up as good this year around our area as it has in recent years from what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing and what I've experienced.
Okay.
And it's also interesting that there'll be another walleye tournament on Lake Bemidji in September. I see that just surfaced. So that'll be interesting.
Okay. Dwayne, we wish you the best of luck in this tournament. I hope I see one of the Peterson contingents anyway at the top of the leaderboard. That would be great.
Well, that would be great, but we're realistic, you know. Yeah. There's tough competition here. A lot of things have to go right. John and I have won this tournament and had several top tens, and Travis and Craig and have competed real close. In fact, 1 year Travis and Jason won the tournament as well.
Wow.
So we've competed. They were third last year and we were fifth, so we were real close competing, and all we can do is the best we can, and we understand that some days you get them and some days you don't, and you're only as good as your last stringer, you know. And, yeah, so we hope to compete. We will compete even if we, you know, can't get all big fish. We'll still compete with a decent stringer, I think.
Yeah, and your brother John and Gussie have done quite well on the Fort Francis tournament, too.
Yeah, they've had a strong, strong history of I think they won it several times, the Fort Francis tournament, and Gussie and John have been, we've John fished with Gussie since he was just a kid, you know, and we supported him through his I got to get rid of this other call here.
Okay.
But anyway, Gussie, when he was young, was a part of our early pro staff, and we kind of got him off on his way. We're real proud of Gussie. In fact, he's competing today in New York and in the BASS circuit. And Gussie is usually at this tournament, but has a conflict in that regard. And his partner Scott Dingwall will be here with another one of their buddies, and they'll compete very well. They won the last 2 years, Gussie and Scott Dingwall, so they're the favorites here. But yeah, we miss Gussie, and we always follow his professional career. And he's a great kid, and he's been a great promoter of ours and a good personal friend.
Awesome. He's a great guy, that's for sure. And your son Craig last year won the Kenora Bass Tournament. This year he and Scott Anderson ended up just shy of winning.
Absolutely. Those guys have had a strong run up there in a very, very competitive tournament. That Kenora Bass, Lake of the Woods is vast, a lot of travel and a lot of big water to traverse. But Scott Anderson and Craig, they did win last year, which is a huge win for them, and darn near pulled it off again this year. They ended up second. They almost went back to back. So those guys have got some strong history with competitive bass fishing as well. Scott and Craig have been tournament partners since they were just way back in high school.
Wow.
Have been a team and traveled with Travis and I back in the day. So they've got a lot of experience, and they're very, very good at it. And at one time, Scott and Craig did fish the Fort Francis tournament here on Rainy Lake, but too many obligations have not allowed that. But, yeah, they're a great team as well.
I'd love to be in the boat and hear them argue about the merits of basketball versus hockey. That's what I want to hear.
Well, you can bet that goes on. I'm not sure. They're both so intense when they fish. I think they're full-time concentrating how to catch the next 3.5-pounder, but yeah, there's a little bit of pulling there between the two sports that they both have been dedicated their life to, I guess.
All right. Well, Dwayne Peterson and his brother John, part of a lot of Petersons up in International Falls, getting ready for the International Falls Rainy Lake Bass Championship. Starts tomorrow, Friday, and runs through Saturday. Dwayne, best of luck this weekend. We love talking to you. Thanks for taking some time.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. I might add that weigh-in takes place both Friday and Saturday. I think they start at 4:30 or 5, and you can find that at iFallsBass.com. They don't stream it live, but they have a live leaderboard that is kind of fun to follow.
All right, Dwayne, thanks for the insight on that. And again, best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Kevin.
As always, when we have Dwayne Peterson on, plenty of good insight and great fishing information. We got a lot more to come, too, because it's also Lake of the Week Day. We'll find out today's lake from Gary Barnard of the Bemidji Area Fisheries Office next.
This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Take good notes so you sound smart.
Lake of the Week Day, Lake of the Week Day, Lake of the Week Day.
It's Fish and Paul Bunyan Country's Lake of the Week.
Well, it is Lake of the Week Day, and we're checking in with Gary Barnard. He's the Area Fisheries Manager out of the Bemidji office. And Gary, this is a lot like the other lakes we've talked about, part of a chain, part of a river chain, the Turtle River chain. It's a little turtle, and getting those chains, and there just seems to be so much productivity when they're connected by a river.
Yeah, that's true. Those rivers systems do tend to be a little more productive. They're draining a bigger watershed and a lot more productivity in the lake for a lot of different species.
And Little Turtle, of course, is part of that turtle chain, which has a lot of different things going on there. I mean, Big Turtle, of course, has great walleyes. And how about Little Turtle? Do they make their way to Little Turtle?
Yeah, they sure do. Little Turtle, and Little Turtle isn't all that little. It's at 450 acres, too. But it's compared to Big Turtle and Mobile. It's the smaller one of the three there. But the walleye certainly move up in there. We don't actually stock Little Turtle, but we do fry stock Big Turtle and Mobile, and it benefits from that. Being upstream, I'm sure it gets some of a bit of a spawning run that runs up in there to try to use the upper reaches of the Turtle River. So, and those fish will persist in there in the spring and feed up after the spawn too. So, you can have some good walleye fishing in there at times.
Well, the one thing it is really noted for is excellent pan fishery, particularly crappies. It's one of the better crappie lakes in the area.
Yeah, it sure is. The last assessment, we had a lot of nice fish in the 11 to 13 inch size ranges, and that's a nice crappie anywhere. And bluegill are, like in a lot of places around here, bluegill seem to be increasing in abundance, and the turtle chain's no exception. We had bluegill at about 8 per trap net. That's not exceptionally high, but some really nice fish exceeding 10 inches.
I think one of the good things I've been seeing is certainly not just in, you know, this lake, for example, but most lakes, especially the panfish lakes. Panfish anglers, like so many of the other anglers, really are educated now. They really understand what they want to preserve, and there seems to be a little bit more thought about which panfish they're going to keep.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're seeing more of that. It's still kind of a harvest fishery, but I think people are being a little bit more selective and maybe not filling out their bag limit every time they go out. And we're taking a look at some of these populations, and the turtle population is growing, and it's got some high quality. And you're probably going to see some more restrictive bag limits in the future on bluegill in this area and on some of these high quality lakes.
So if we are fishing Little Turtle right now, we're catching lots of crappie and bluegill, give us just some advice on what's good to keep and what would be best to get back into the water.
Well, it's always good to release some of those really big male fish in the population. You know, a 10-inch fish is pretty darn impressive, but there's not a heck of a lot more meat on a 10-incher than there is on a 9. So if you can release some of those big fish, and what that does is it keeps that big dominant male in the population so that the younger males aren't maturing quite as quickly and spawning, and they're growing faster. So it kind of keeps that dynamic in place.
Okay, and it sounds like it's a pretty good bass lake, too.
Yeah, it's a very good bass lake. A lot of folks have known about that. Largemouth bass. We're starting to see more smallmouth throughout the chain. Not so much in Little Turtle yet, but in Mobile and Big Turtle, and they're going to eventually be in Little Turtle as well, but maybe not. It doesn't quite have the habitats, as much rock and stuff as some of those other basins, so maybe not quite as much, but don't be surprised to catch a smallmouth.
Yeah, and like most, like all of the lakes on the Turtle Chain, these are not secret lakes. These are not lakes we're going to get away from traffic or see lots of untamed wilderness. Pretty well developed lake.
Yeah, they do have a fair amount of development, and there's going to be boats using it. There's going to be other people fishing out there, but fishing pressure is kind of relative. You look at fishing pressure in this area. When we talk about high pressure, we're talking about a couple of dozen boats on a lake. It's nothing like the metro, so enjoy it while you got it. Little Turtle is a little bit harder to access, though. You do have to go through a Big Turtle to get there, so you're launching at the Big Turtle access and then going under the Highway 15 bridge there to get into Little Turtle. But that doesn't hold people back too much. There's plenty of people who find their way in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I say, it's no secret that it's a great crappie lake. I've heard that for 20-something years. So people are going to be trying it for sure.
Yep. We do have some winter access available there, too, because, of course, in the winter you can't get under the bridge there with the moving water. But We do have an aquatic management area on right off Highway 15 as well. And that's foot traffic only, but it's a short walk to get out there and get on the lake and set up for panfish for the winter fishery as well. So nice to have that option in places where these lakes aren't quite as accessible otherwise.
Now, and probably jinx it by bringing this up, but as of now, we don't have zebra mussels in the turtle chain, correct?
That's correct. We don't have any zebra mussels. We do have starry stonewort, the vegetation and invasive species. So be careful with that, especially at the big turtle access. That's where it was found. So again, and with any lake, you know, it's best to assume there's something there, even if it's not infested. So always clean, drain, and dry before going to the other lakes.
Okay. Besides big turtle, do we know of starry stonewort on any other lakes in that chain?
Not on that chain. No, we haven't seen it spread throughout on that chain. We do have it down in Cass Lake, and Big Wolf as well.
Okay, but it's always something, right?
Yeah, there's always something there.
All right, it is Little Turtle, a great lake in Paul Bunyan country up on the Turtle Chain. Gary Barnard from the Area Fisheries Office with all the details. Gary, thank you so much for your time today.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Say, I should mention that Little Turtle does have a special northern pike rig.
I guess we
didn't talk about that, but it does have the 24 to 36 protected slot. And that's a little bit confusing now as we've gone to zone regulations on most of the other lakes, but special regulations that were in place will remain in place for a while yet anyway.
And that's on all the lakes in the chain, right?
Yeah, that's correct. They all have that same slot, and as boats can move back and forth and the pike population can move back and forth, we want a consistent regulation throughout.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate your time today.
All right, thank you, Kevin.
FISHIIN, Paul Bunyan Country.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.